जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, we're in text 38. Svarat potram vinayinam atmanaha sushamam gunai toya nivya patim bhumir abhya sinchad Gajavaye Svarat potram vinayinam Atmana susamam gunai Toya nivyat patim bhumir Avyasinchad gajavaye Svarat potram vinayinam Atmana susamam gunai Toya nivyat patim bhumir Abhyasinchad gajavaye Svarat potram vinayinam Atmana susamam gunai Toya nivyat patim bhumir Abhyasinchad gata kajavaye Parapotram vinayinam Toya nivya patim bhumir Abhyasincha kajavaye Paratotram vinayinam Atmana susamam gunai Toya nivya patim bhumir Abhyasincha kajavaye Svarapotram vinayinam Atmana susamagunai Toya divya patim bhumir Yasincha gajavaye Mataji's. Svarapotram vinayinam Atmana susamam gunai Toya agnabhakim bhumir Abhayasincha gavaye Right. Svarat The emperor, potram, unto the grandson, vinayinam, properly trained, atmanaha, his own self, susamam, equal in all respects, gunai, by the qualities, toya nivyad, bordered by the seas. Patim, master. Bhume, of the land. Abhyasinchat, enthroned. Gajavaye, in the capital of Hastinapur. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, in the capital of Hastinapur, he enthroned his grandson, who was trained and equally qualified as the emperor and master of all land bordered by the seas. Please repeat. Thereafter, in the capital of Hastinapur, he enthroned his grandson, who was trained and equally qualified as the emperor and master of all the land bordered by the seas. Purport. The total land on the earth bordered by the seas was under the subjugation of the king of Hastinapur. Maharaj Yudhisthira trained his grandson, Maharaj Prickett, who was equally qualified in state administration in terms of the king's obligation to the citizens. Thus, King Prickett was enthroned on the seat of Maharaj Yudhisthira prior to his departure back to Godhead. Concerning Maharaj Prickett, the specific word used, Vinayinam, is significant. Why was the king of Hastinapur, at least till the time of Maharaj Prickett, accepted as the emperor of the world? The only reason is that the people of the world were happy because of the good administration of the emperor. The happiness of the citizens was due to the ample production of natural produce, such as grains, fruits, milk, herbs, valuable stones, minerals, and everything that the people needed. They were even free from all bodily miseries, anxieties of mind, and disturbances caused by natural phenomena and other living beings. Because everyone was happy in all respects, there was no resentment, although there were sometimes battles between the state kings for political reasons and supremacy. Everyone was trained to attain the highest goal of life, and therefore the people were also enlightened enough not to quarrel over trivialities. The influence of the age of Kali gradually infiltrated the good qualities of both the kings and the citizens, and therefore a tense situation developed between the ruler and the ruled. But still, even in this age of disparity between the ruler and the ruled, there can be spiritual emolument and God consciousness. This is a special prerogative. Om Agyanatme Randasya Gananjanashlaka Chakshum Umritam Jainitas Maestri Guru Vena Maha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, Hari Bol. So, in the last many verses we've been speaking about leadership. There's a lot of things here about leadership. And, of course, this particular verse is about succession. Who will succeed the emperor of the world? And in these particular verses, it kind of appears that the 5,000 years ago, everything was, the whole globe, the whole world, was being ruled by one person, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the emperor. So I thought that was pretty amazing that only one person could control the whole globe, the whole planet. And an interesting thing that I heard Papa say that it's ludicrous to think that, like, the land of America was never seen before until Columbus came. Because in this particular verse, we see that Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor of the whole world. And he resided in Hastinapur. And it says here, he's the king of Hastinapur. So if you go to India today, you can actually go there and see the Pandava fort. There's actually a Pandava fort. You can go there and see it. And that was the capital in Hastinapur. And the big castle, you can go there today. You can drive by. You can look around. You can even take a tour in there. So this actually existed. And at that time, 5,000 years ago, it means that King Yudhisthira sent his agents, or maybe himself. He traveled throughout the whole world. And he was subjugated to no one. He had free will. Basically, he could do whatever he wanted to do because he governed the whole world. So King Yudhisthira was Swarat. He was very independent and completely absorbed in the service of the Lord. That was the only person that he was really dependent upon, was the king, or was the Supreme Lord. And as the king, as the emperor, he didn't have any dependency on any other state or any other leader or king, because he controlled everything. And this is pretty incredible. Sometimes we see that there's little emperors that want to mimic the same position as Maharaj Yudhisthira, but impossible. So what I thought was really kind of important in this particular verse, it was that how this came about, that King Yudhisthira was put in that position. And if we back up a little bit, we'll see or hear about the Kurukshetra war, the war that Krishna instigated, by the way. Krishna wanted this war. And the purpose of doing that is because he felt that Duryodhana was not qualified to be an emperor of the world. And because of that, Krishna wanted to get rid of him and that whole dynasty, practically. So he was the one that instigated this Kurukshetra war in order to install his choice of an emperor, which was King Yudhisthira. And King Yudhisthira was a qualified recipient because he was known throughout. His reputation was stellar. His personality was beautiful. Everyone loved him. His management was expert. It was perfect. In fact, we know that King Yudhisthira was so magnanimous that he would never tell a lie. Even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he did have to tell a little white lie. Didn't he? Dronacharya, right? Dronacharya's son, Ashwatthama. Yeah? So, Krishna knew that if Dronacharya heard that his son Ashwatthama was killed, he would not go into battle. He'd be discouraged totally, and he wouldn't want to fight anymore. And that would be the advantage to the Pandavas. So, he requested King Yudhisthira to tell this little lie, that Ashwatthama was dead. And he refused. He didn't want to do it. So Krishna had to ask him again. And finally, the conclusion was that they'll attack Ashwatthama, the elephant. And they'll kill the elephant, Ashwatthama. And then Yudhisthira would say, out in the battlefield, he'd say, Ashwatthama's dead. And if Dronacharya heard that, then he'd believe anything that Yudhisthira said. That was the reputation of King Yudhisthira. He was that the enemy even trusted everything he said. Maximum. So when he said Ashwatthama is dead, it was a little white lie. It wasn't actually the sun, but it was actually the elephant. And it says that because King Yudhisthira didn't completely surrender to Krishna of what he wanted, that Yudhisthira Maharaj had to see the hellish planets before he went home back to Godhead. Is that correct, Maharaj? That's somewhat close. You have to see those particular planets. Yeah. That's right. He didn't yell it. He didn't shout it out. He kind of whispered it. Yeah. So, yes. So, this is how King Yudhisthira, he could exemplify Swarat because of his personality, because of his ability. He was independent. Of course, he was dependent on Krishna. The whole Pandava family was totally dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But he was Swarat in terms of that he was independent in his ruling power. He was that powerful. So, we see that in society today, this is not possible, literally not possible. Even in America, it's stated, you know, that the government is for the people, by the people. This is the democracy that we see today, for the people, by the people. And they really want that. But there is a downside to this understanding, this democracy. This is why Prabhupada called it even demon crazy. Now, why would he call it demon crazy? Because of this philosophy is by the people, for the people. So that would mean that if any old fool wanted to cast a vote, we have to analyze who would a fool vote for? Just analyze that. If you're a fool and you're going to vote for somebody, who will you vote for? Another fool. So this is democracy. And we see that, why are there fools? Because people do not know what is the purpose of life. They have no idea. All their activity is focused and based on the bodily platform of life. Whereas we see in this particular case, in this particular time, that was not the case. Yudhishthira Maharaj, the Pandavas, they were fully absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord. Whereas the opposition wanted power, Duryodhana wanted power, opulence, sense enjoyment, sense gratification, to the maximum. That was his fight. Whereas the Pandavas, they simply wanted to reinstate the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the downside of democracy or leadership of the world today. This is how it's going on. And in every country in the world, sometimes we see a little dictator, you know, he wants to take over some little small country. But you can see his dictatorship. Everybody's suffering and miserable because they create nothing but havoc and disturbance. So it's described very nicely in the Bhagavatam. What our qualifications are. In this iron age, we live in the iron age of Kali Yuga. And in this iron age, we have, it's described in Bhagavatam, we have short lives. We can't live very long anymore. Previously, people lived for thousands of years. And in Kali Yuga, you're supposed to live at least 100 years. And that's kind of bewildering to me because, you know, they say that everyone's lifespan has been extended. I mean, is that really? I don't know how that's true. I know a lot of my friends are dying, on the verge of dying, and I'm still 30 years away from 100 years old. I can't even imagine. Right now, the oldest person I know is Maharaj, 86. Yes. And we could see that's not easy to get there. We can be so lucky to be at 86 years old. So I'm not sure what they mean about that you live longer in Kali Yuga. Artificially. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's right. Oh, yes. 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 So Maharaj is saying, for those who are on the internet, that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna and the Pandavas, they were all literally 100 years old or better. And they were fighting like young men of... What was Krishna's son's name on the battlefield? Abhimanyu, the father of King Parikshit. Abhimanyu was only 16 years old. He was 16 years old on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And it took Bhishma Dev and Duryodhana, it took all of them to kill him at 16 years old. What a fierce fighter he was. So just to give you a setting, a scene, how Kali Yuga has changed. So short-lived, for sure, short-lived. And then, of course, Kali Yuga means quarrelsome. We know this is going on everywhere. You look around the world, you look in our society in America today, how much quarrelsome nature is there in everybody. So this is a symptom of Kali Yuga. Quarrelsome. Lazy. So many people, so lazy. Not lazy for sense gratification. This means lazy for spiritual emancipation. People are very lazy. They don't want to hear about making advancement in spiritual life. They don't care for it. They care simply for making money and having some kind of sense gratification. And this is Kali Yuga. And then it's stated misguided. So many people are misguided by so many distractions of Kali Yuga. And you can see that if you have a person like that voting, you know, a person who's lazy, a person who's misguided, and then it says above all, they're not only are they unlucky, but above all, they're always disturbed. Those are the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And you can just stand outside here in front of the temple every day. If you sit out there and just kind of watch who's coming by, at least you'll see a couple of crazy people walking by here every day, talking to themselves. If you go out on Venice Boulevard, you'll see dozens of them. Dozens and dozens. This is Kali Yuga. This is what's going on in Kali Yuga. So it's no wonder that we have the state of affairs as they are in America, in the world today, because of so many unqualified people and no training. So we should understand that a head of the state should be Swarat, independent. It shouldn't be depending on the popular vote, because the popular vote we just described, short-lived, unlucky, misguided, lazy, always disturbed. And if you have people like this that are voting, then what are the symptoms of that? What will you develop? Same thing. So the leadership had to be of the highest caliber, pure. They had to be pure. And King Yudhishthira was very pure. It's described that in Vedic civilization, there were three persons that were very important. And they were important because of their purity. And that was the priest or the spiritual master. Why? Because the priest or the spiritual master would train, teach people how to become purified. That's what a spiritual master would do. He would train someone how to be the highest caliber of a person in this world. So that's what a priest did, or a spiritual master. The next one that would be extremely important would be a king, right? If we want this world to be of high caliber, the king as a person should be very high and pure in his stature, in his activities. And then, of course, the brahmana. The brahmanas should be those. So those three particular individuals in society, they should be of pure character. And we see that Srila Prabhupada, from what I know of pure, I don't think I've ever met a person more pure than Srila Prabhupada in my lifetime. Although you love your mother and father, but you know your mother and father weren't pure. You had a lot of friends. You know your friends weren't pure. I don't think so anyway, right? But I have to say that there's one person that I met in my life, in this short life, and that was Srila Prabhupada, who is very pure. And we can see the potency of that purity. The potency of that purity is, even though he's not here today, his potency still continues on in this particular society of Krishna consciousness. It's going on and on and on. And so it's our duty, of course, for us to say, for me to sit here and say to you, you know, I feel very pure. That's not really true. That's false. But there is something that's pure, and that's the Vedas. The Vedas are pure. So if we speak the purity of the Vedas, this is the power that we have in this age of Kali Yuga. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that there's a special prerogative. What is that special prerogative? Of course, it's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, but it's also the Vedas. We may be impure. We may have so many faults, so many difficulties, but because we speak the Vedas, and we read these purports and speak the purports from His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, that is purity. That is our power. And that is why it's so important for us to disseminate, to distribute this knowledge, this Vedic knowledge, because that can change the minds of people. And we're all examples of that. You take a look in this particular room. If I went down the line, I'm sure each and every one of us would have a story or two to tell how impure of a life we actually live and what kind of nonsense we actually are involved in. But then we met Krishna consciousness through Prabhupada's books, the Vedas. And these books inspired us to become devotees of Lord Krishna. And when you become a devotee of Lord Krishna and you follow His instruction and the instruction of the spiritual master, we can become pure. We can actually become pure. We're on the path to purity. And we can see that all of us have a story. I have a story. You have a story. Anybody that walks through these doors and becomes a devotee has a story about how of a rascal life that we live. That's understood. So, these particular three individuals are extremely important in going on in Krishna consciousness. So here Prabhupada says in the purport, the specific word used, vinayinam, is significant. Why was the king of why was that significant? Because the word vinayinam means here trained, properly trained. So this is the key element in Krishna consciousness. We need to be properly trained. This is the element. And if we accept this training, we can become purified. If we neglect it, then we go back to Mushtika Bhava. You'll be a mouse again. You can be a lion if you come to Krishna consciousness and roar like a lion or be like a tiger and spread this Krishna conscious movement. But the minute that we don't accept proper training, then mouse again. You become a mouse. You become just an ordinary individual again. So, we have to accept this training as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and that is put in these books, in his purports, and he's given all of us instructions of how to execute our life, which is of the utmost importance. I mean, Krishna thought that it was so important to get rid of Duryodhana that he created a war where millions of people were killed, is to reestablish, to reinstate a pure devotee of the Lord. So how important should we see what this Krishna consciousness movement can give to the world? And it's our prescribed duty to actually become completely absorbed in the words of the spiritual master, to follow these instructions nicely, for us to become purified, for us to preach this knowledge. That's our duty. This is what we've inherited from Srila Prabhupada. Just like Pariksit Maharaj inherited the whole world. He was the emperor of the world. He inherited that by his qualifications from Yudhishthira Maharaj to preach this message of Bhagavad Dharma. That's, you know, even though we may think, well, gee whiz, I didn't come here to, you know, I came here because of prasadam. Well, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we shouldn't stay there. That's not where we should stay. Let's not just stay, oh, I'm a prasadam devotee. That's nice. Get a good laugh out of it and get a good meal. But we shouldn't stay there. We should go to the highest level that we possibly can in order to preach the message of this Krishna consciousness movement. That's our legacy, literally. That's our legacy. And if we accept it with sincerity and with devotion, then this Krishna conscious movement will spread. And although we feel unqualified, but you know, we see that King Pariksit, because of his relationship, his association with Yudhishthira Maharaj, he had great teacher. And we see that we have that opportunity through the Vedas. And the Bhagavatam It gives us a real understanding of what kind of individuals are in the world. This is not me, but this is the Bhagavatam describes everyone as a hog, a dog, camel, or ass. Why? There's a reason for that. It's not to be some funny joke, or it's not even to be offensive, but it's there to give us a perspective of what kind of individuals that are in Kali Yuga. You know, Prabhupada describes that a hog has no discrimination. They'll eat whatever. It doesn't matter. And we know people like this. People out there will try anything. They'll eat anything. There's parts of the world that eat dog. There's people that eat insects. Just because, you know, a hog can eat stool, does that mean that we should eat that? No. A human being is of higher caliber, a higher intelligence. So the Bhagavatam describes that this is the type of people we're dealing with. People that are like, have no discrimination. They don't care. And then, of course, a dog. A dog is very faithful, Prabhupada says. But the negative side of a dog is that they bark at everybody. Like, the dog loves its master. You can see that, right? We've all experienced it. You know, if you're out here and they're walking the dog, you kind of like move over to the side because you know the nature of a dog. It loves its master, but everybody else it hates. It'll growl at you. It'll bark at you. So Prabhupada said that not everybody, but there's people in the world like a dog. They're very faithful to the person that feeds them or supports them. But everybody else they don't like. They hate. It's like you see these dogs that I see walking up and down here. I mean, I've seen some of these dogs. They're better off than the homeless people that I see that walk around here. You know, sometimes you see a homeless human being, and then you see some of these dogs. And these dogs are well kept. They have a good fur. They're happy. You know, when you look at them, they're really happy. They're jumpy. They're satisfied. You know, now they have special food that you give a dog. You can go to a dog place now where they have, you know, hyped up food for them. That's good for them. It's hyped up, you know, natural, organic. And the person, the master, like, you know, okay, here you go. You can have this hyped up food. You'll be a stellar dog. It's what's going on. This is what's happening. And then in the material world, you know, some of the younger people, they know that, you know, they say, okay, you can be a big dog, right? The big dog. You don't have to be ordinary. You can be big dog if you want. But this is what's going on. So people there, and Prabhupada even says, those individuals that go out and they get all this high caliber education, and then they go door to door begging for a master. They beg, can you give me a job? And Prabhupada says sometimes the parents, they spend countless amounts of money to give their daughter or son education. But if they don't find a proper master, they're useless. It's useless. Sometimes they spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to educate their children. But if their children don't find a master, someone they can be under, guided by, what is the benefit of that education? There's no benefit. So this is what society is like. Hogs, dogs, camels. Everybody knows the camel. The thorny bushes that the camel likes to eat. And then it cuts the tongue of the camel. And he's just sucking that blood. And he loves the taste of it. And there are a class of men out in society who their only desire is to work hard to get sense gratification. Yes, they work just for sexual pleasure. They love it. I'm not sure if you have experienced that, but in my youthhood, I had several friends that were like that. That's all they thought about. That's all they thought. That was 24/7. They didn't care who, what, or where. That was their desire. They wanted that. Camels. And then, of course, there's asses. The asses are beasts of burden. Yes, they work hard. Prabhupada gives the example of an ass in India, the laundry man. If you go to India, if you haven't been, you haven't seen this. You don't see them too often anymore. But in the previous years, when you'd go to India, you'd see a donkey walking down the street, and it's rickety. You know, sometimes the legs on the donkey would be like this. You know, they're supposed to be like this. But the legs would be like this because the burden that they're carrying is huge. And he's carrying this, the laundry for the washerman. And the donkey can barely carry it. And then what's really, Papa said, what's really stupid is that ass, you know, at the end of the day of its labor, it actually gets a little morsel of grass. It gets some grass. And that's all it gets to eat from the washerman. And Papa said, the ass is, he doesn't realize that if you would just forget the laundryman, run away from him, he could eat grass all over the place, all day long, without any burden. No burden. But he carries his big burden because he's an ass. He's no knowledge, no understanding the purpose of life. So he carries his big old laundry. So that's what the Bhagavatam describes these individuals. That's what they are. And there's examples of this. So the Bhagavatam speaks this. It's not us or me or any of the devotees or Srila Prabhupada for that matter. This is the Bhagavatam describing the nature of living entities in this world. So, okay, so cast your vote. You know, everybody, all these camels, dogs, you know, hogs, they cast their vote for their leader. If you're a camel, you want a camel leader, isn't it? If you're a dog, you want a big dog. What else do you want? So we can see this democracy, so-called. It's so-called. Because people are not trained properly. So this is what Krishna consciousness is about. This is why Srila Prabhupada has urged us every day of his life to go out and understand how and what we need to do to help these living entities. These poor souls who are suffering like anything have no conception. And so it's described, Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam Sango Pangasa Parsadam Yagnai Sankirtan Pranaya Yajantisi Hi Sumedasaha. Sumedasaha. This is important. Intelligence. So it's described that anyone who's endowed with some kind of intelligence in Kali Yuga, they'll worship the Supreme Lord, who is with his associates, his close associates, by the performance of Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name. That's why we do what we do. This is leadership, by the way. This is real leadership. Because who else will do this? So each and every one of us have to have this understanding within ourselves. That is a leader. That's, no one has to tell you. You understand by reading the Vedas, by hearing from the pure devotee of the Lord. You hear this, and you believe it, and you become a leader. In the beginning, that's what people used to do. Oh, Fritz sent me this thing, La Bangalatik. She went to, where, Ecuador? Nicaragua, to spread the message of Krishna consciousness on her own. And she just had enough money just to exist for a couple of days. Her idea was to distribute so many Bhagavad Gitas. That's called leadership. That's leading. It's not waiting. This is like the leadership. And that is pure. A pure desire. It really is a pure desire. We may not be pure, but we're following the instruction. The instruction is pure. That's the point that we have to make. We may not be pure, but the instruction is. If we follow the instruction, the activity is pure. And it's simply meant for us to realize it. And that comes from training. So what is our training? Rising early, chanting Hare Krishna, only eating that which is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following the four regular principles, associating with each other, speaking and hearing about Krishna daily, the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading every day the instruction from the Vedas. These are things that we need to do for our own purification. That's the process. What is that? Kalir Dosha Nid Hey Rajan Asti Eko Mahanguna Kirtanadi Vakrishna Sel Mukta Sangha Parambrajat. It's described that Kali Yuga is full of faults. That's what we've been talking about all morning, is the faults. It's places full of it, all over the place. But he said there's still one good thing left in this age of Kali Yuga. One good thing. And that is simply, if we chant the Maha Mantra, that's all we have to do. If you chant the Maha Mantra, we'll become free from bodily designation. Free. You become freed. That's incredible. Just like if you were handcuffed. You were handcuffed here. And somebody came and they took your handcuffs off. You'd feel, oh my God, I'm free from my bondage. You'd be ecstatic. You could use your hands any way you wanted. If they're handcuffed, you're limited. You become limited. But if we chant this Maha Mantra in this age of Kali Yuga, we become freed from bondage. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Yeah, freed. And then not only that, but we become purified. That's another thing. We want to become pure representatives. But this is how you do it. We have the formula. This is the formula. If we simply follow it, then we'll become purified and we'll be happy. People don't understand that happiness is beyond sense gratification. They have no idea. They have never been in a real kirtan in a Hare Krishna temple. If you've ever been in a kirtan, an ecstatic kirtan in a Hare Krishna temple, you can't. You forget everything. And what?
Or
Rath Yatra. You forget your bondage in this material world. You forget about your senses and all this stuff. You become so purified, you're so ecstatic that you just don't know what to do. I can say I've experienced this ecstasy. I've experienced it. Do I experience it every moment of my day? No, I don't. But I have experienced this ecstasy of Krishna consciousness in a kirtan. I have. I can say that loudly and boldly. And I wish I could have that always. And we can. And that's beyond sense gratification. People think I can be happy by having unlimited sex or money or power and fame. No. They've never been in a real Hare Krishna kirtan. Yes. Nikama Prabhu's kirtan. Yes. We've been in those kirtans when he's ecstatic and all of us become just enraged with happiness. Isn't it? Sometimes people dance crazy. They're enraged with happiness. Yeah, that's Krishna consciousness. This is what it is. And this is the formula. So, what's that verse? Sarva Pari Vinir Mukta Parat Vina Nirmalam. Right? Hirshikena. Yes, that's right. It says that if you engage in devotional service, there's two side effects. Can you imagine? We're talking about side effects of devotional service. One of those side effects of devotional service is that you become free from material designation. You know, you're not white, you're not black, you're not Mexican, you're not American, you're not a Czech. You become free from designation. Free. Yeah, no more, none of this nonsense stuff. And the second is that your senses become purified. What is that purification? We all want it. This is said side effects. We can imagine how glorious Krishna consciousness is. This is our prescribed duty. And we need to accept that whether we like it or not. It's not an option. It's not an option. Once you've stepped through this door, you've accepted Srila Prabhupada's movement. There's no more options. Sorry. It's what it is. You step through that door. You want to chant. You wanted to get initiated. Then let's act like it. Let's get into it and spread Krishna consciousness. All right? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.